Hey, it's Sean Fennessy. We've got something special cooking on the Prestige TV podcast. I'll be recapping one of my favorite shows, HBO's Barry, every Sunday night with the writer-director star of the show, the great Bill Hader. We'll talk about the show's wild twists and turns, its special brand of dark comedy, and how it all came together. So on Sunday nights, immediately after a new episode airs, you can hear Bill and I break it all down on the Prestige TV pod. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app. Just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
What's up, everybody? This is Tyson, one of your hosts here at The Pod Has Spoken. Back from a short hiatus at CNN Plus, we spent a handful of weeks filming 106 hour episodes that were all set to air on CNN Plus on loop, and then nothing happened. So I came crawling back. They made me crawl through the get your job back door, which is a teeny tiny door you got to get on all fours for. Came through it, and here I am with my always stalwart co-host Riley McAtee. Riley, how you doing?
What's up, man? Welcome back.
Thank you. I missed you. Did you miss me?
I did. I'm glad to have you back. I can't say I'm too sorry that the CNN Plus thing didn't work out, because we're happy to have you here.
Yeah, all things are meant to happen for a reason, I believe. And today, Riley, I have a very special guest for you. One of your heroes and one of my good, good friends. And sure, in a way, a hero as well. I mean, he is a firefighter, and for being truthful with the audience, probably my favorite sounding voice of all Survivor contestants. I don't know why, it's just something about it that I absolutely love. With us today, Jeremy Collins. Jeremy, what's up, dude?
Your favorite sound and voice?
Yes.
I've never heard that before. I'll take it, though.
It's true. Like, I don't know why you're a firefighter instead of just, like, voicing Disney cartoons and, like, everything. You should be doing voice actor work all over the place.
Nah, you talk to Boston Rob too much. That's why.
You think? So that...
Yes.
just because I talk to him too much, now I have fallen in love with your voice?
Yes.
What's it about Boston Rob's voice that makes me fall in love with your voice?
Because I have a better voice than Boston Rob.
Sure. Yes, I'll agree with that.
And not only that, I talk a lot less, though.
Okay, so you think it's the balance between talking less and having a better voice?
There's only one person that can run the stage. And when you and Rob are together, you guys go like this. And then I just sit back and just watch the show. So then when I jump in, I get a little bit, a cameo here and there, and that's all. That then you fall in love with my cameo. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's refreshing. I'll take it, whatever it is. I love it. Taking your time off of your firefighting duties to be here with us today, a very awesome episode, double elimination and double tribal council in a crazy manner. And I've dealt with double tribal councils before that have not fared well for me. We're being honest. And so I want to get into this episode, and we're just going to breeze through some of the stuff that doesn't matter that much. It matters a little bit, just the story. And we start off back at camp from last week's tribal council. Romeo understands he's on the bottom, and does a little damage control, and he does something a little sneaky. He writes High's name down to just kind of put High on red alert. Do you like that move, Jeremy?
I don't know why he did that. What was his mindset for doing that? To make him feel like uncomfortable?
Yes.
I mean, I like making someone feel uncomfortable, but like, that's how you do it. You could do plenty of other things to make someone feel uncomfortable, but that, like, I don't know. And High just sniffed it right out and said, I know who wrote my name down. He tried to lie about it and say he didn't do it, but like, he sniffed it right out.
Yeah. Everyone knew, right?
Yeah. I don't think it was a great move.
Riley?
Well, because like I was thinking that maybe it was like, okay, in case there was like a shot in the dark and like an idle played or something, he at least has this one freebie vote out there to do it. So it's like maybe Romeo did a little strategy there. But then it's
was there any other votes there? Was there anybody else that had votes going to them?
Yeah, they split the vote between Romeo and who went home last week? Chanel.
Chanel. Yeah, Chanel and Romeo
got the split
votes. So if two people got the shot in the dark, that's why he did it? Is that his mindset?
Know. But I feel like in this day and age of new Survivor, where there's so many advantages, so many twists and turns, you just got to throw one vote out there just to like, it's just like the second insurance policy of all the voting.
Right. It's like a long shot, but it's like all it did for him was make High upset at him back at camp. Like there's no, if your goal is like, oh, I just want to make him squirm. It's like, I don't think you want people squirming. You want them like in a row where they're predictable and you can trust them or at least work with them a little bit. Oh, right?
When you're on the bottom though, you kind of want everybody squirming. You're on the bottom and you want chaos. You know?
Romeo's on the bottom.
Well, he knows how to make chaos, I think.
Yeah. So, okay. We'll say bad move. I don't dislike the move, especially when somebody is like, oh, I want the perfect game. Like High was upset that nobody had voted for. He was upset because up to this point he'd gotten zero votes. So he's like, yeah, I'm pretty clean. All of a sudden now my name's out there. That it puts it in people's heads. There is something to it.
Yeah, I could see that.
And if Romeo had been able to cover it up better or just blame it on Chanel or whatever, Chanel's gone, just blame it on her, do something, he probably could have hidden it better, but High might not have believed him either way.
I'm trying to think. Did he blame it on Chanel?
No, he just said he didn't vote for him. He's just I didn't vote for you. I voted for whoever we were supposed to vote for, but High wasn't having any of it. And we sleep overnight, go to the next morning, and Roxroy has this brilliant plan. Really genius. An all-guys alliance. There's six guys, four girls. Jeremy, what are the odds of an all-guys alliance sticking?
Zero. It never works, man. It never works. I don't know what he was thinking. He was really into it. Like, this is genius. I got this thing. We're going to go all the way to the end, and then we're going to battle it out. And it's not smart. It's not fun. It's kind of a sloppy.
Yeah. I think what people don't understand is like, especially as a viewer, when you're watching this game unravel, you're looking at obvious lines. Like you're looking men versus women. You're looking at age, maybe parents versus single. You're looking at a lot of different lines here. But what you're not seeing is that it's more about who you can trust. Like, I'm not going with an all-guys alliance, even if they swore up and down, if I trust someone on the women's side more than I trust any of these men. There's no way it's ever happening.
No way.
So Roxroy, just like making this pitch to everybody, just does not understand that it's like, it's all about trust and who you feel comfortable with. It's not about like picking the majority and seeing it through because it's a majority. Like there, you could draw so many majority lines across this group of 10 people right now that they just crisscross and intersect all different directions. It's not going to matter.
Yeah. I feel like those obvious ones, the men and the women alliance type thing, I think those are the scariest because they're so obvious that you're scared that everybody else sees it. You know what I mean? So when we played in, you know, you saw Kim with the women and you're like, it's just obvious that she's going to do this. Like and it's scary. You know what I mean? So even if she's not doing it, or even if he wasn't going to go for the all men, male alliance, that's got to be a red flag to everybody else, all the women out there, you know?
Correct. And even some of the men, like he goes to Omar and High, and both of them are like, we're not into that at all. Yeah, it's just like zero tact. He doesn't even like feel it out. He's just like, this is what we're doing. I'm the boss. Scale of 1 to 10. How much do you like Rox's glasses there?
Oh my God. Those are my older brother, when he played soccer, he had the same exact things. They were horrible.
Oh. Yeah. I played baseball in those growing up.
He has something with his eyes, though.
Yeah, he's got like a cornea issue. That's why he wears them. Yeah.
Because they're protective, right?
Something.
So he gets a mulligan for that.
Free card, yeah. Because I wore them. I didn't have any issues, but I didn't want to wear my regular glasses to play baseball in case I got hit in the face. So yeah. I wore.
And you're not as cool as you are. You weren't as cool then as you are now. So you would never wear those now.
How do you know?
You were cool back then?
I wasn't cool back then. All right. But I didn't care. How did you know that I wasn't cool as a kid? I'm gonna have to rethink everything.
I've seen pictures.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there are some junior high pictures out there. Yeah, that makes sense. Omar and Hai are not in, and this is not gonna work. So it's kind of just like some fluff. Rox, though, does believe that it is happening.
Yeah.
And Jonathan, does Jonathan believe it's happening? Kind of, a little bit, maybe.
I'm not sure. I can't get a reading off of Jonathan with that because he seemed like he was down for it, but he's a big guy and you would want to keep as many big guys around. So he should want that, but I don't think he believed it was going to happen.
Yeah. And I can't believe that his homemade clothes have lasted this long on the island.
they're struggling to last. I don't know if we can say they've really lasted.
He doesn't want those things on anyways, man. He's trying to get those off every second he gets.
It's a good thing it's a short season, yeah.
This is the reverse Jeremy Collins, because I remember Jeremy Collins always tried to have his shirt on because his abs were so cut, he didn't want people to be threatened by him.
Well, my abs are fading. My abs faded by my third season. First season, I was like, hey, I don't care. I'm going to take my shirt off. And everybody wanted me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
John Rocker and a Michigan State linebacker out there, and you're looking at me, I'm like, oh my God. So then I started thinking like, I need to start putting on a little fluff, you know what I mean? And, uh-huh. and start working out. And then by third season, I was like, I'm not taking off my shirt. I'm leaving it on. I don't want you guys to look at me. Not once. Don't look at me, Tyson.
Yeah, I know. I never did. It was a struggle for me not to, but I always made sure that you weren't uncomfortable by my gaze.
I was never uncomfortable by your gaze, Tyson.
Good. Then I did my job. I have made you feel comfortable. That's what I wanted. But everything else didn't work out there. And you and I get a little blast from the past in this immunity challenge.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, I want to talk about the immunity challenge. There's 10 people. Is there 10 or 11 people? There's 11 people now.
11.
There's 10.
No, 10. Because it 10. Was
yeah, split up two teams of five.
But I thought one person sits out. That was last week.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two teams of five. And the whole idea is that they split it up just randomly, supposedly. I think it's random. They compete in each group of five for individual immunity. And then they go to two separate tribal councils and are completely separated until those tribal councils occur, which is a crazy idea. Jeremy, do you like that idea? Do you think it's a fun little twist? What are your thoughts on it?
I do like that idea. I'm trying to think, oh my God, like Survivor is such a blur for me right now. But I want to say my second season, did they do something like, no, they didn't do it. Did they do that?
One, the time I went out on Heroes versus Villains, it was a double elimination with two individual.
But you were still on separate tribes then. We were still on separate tribes.
Yeah, we were still on separate tribes, but there were two winners from each tribe to win immunity. And then the winner, then they had a showdown between the two winners, and that winner tribal got to go second, I think.
Got to go first. Second, and you get to like eat food in front of.
Yeah, you got to eat hot dogs.
And watch them.
You got to go first and eat hot dogs and watch the second tribal council. That's how it was.
But this one, how did it go? For you guys, did you guys go off to another camp as well?
No, because we were already separate. We were Heroes and Villains still at that time.
Pre-merge.
So it was pre-merge.
Okay,
pre-merge.
Yeah.
So there was a few differences, but I personally do not like this. I'll tell you why. because they already had small tribes with tribes of three whittled down. You're already playing a very similar feel to the end game. It's, you know, you got to scramble. You got to make sure you're good for just one more time. And then hopefully you're going. And then you get to the merge. You have a little time to relax. There's a bigger group. You have more places to hide. And then they split it up again. Tribe of five, one winner. That means you have 25% chance of going out. One in four chance while there's still 10 people in there. That's with all the advantages and everything else. That's it's why are you accelerating to the end game? And then you're going to have to back off the pedal a little bit. I don't know. Like, I get it. You got to be adaptable. And in this particular situation, you have to be extremely adaptable. And if adaptable is the name of the game, then what better way to test it than something like this? So that's where I'm torn.
I like it. I think with the speed of the game and because it's shortened, I think you have to do stuff like this. But it's so much harder and so much luck involved because you could be in a sweet spot and then you just do this random draw and now you can be out just like that. You know what I mean? So I kind of like it. You know, a lot of luck is involved in win a survivor. So I kind of dig this little switch up.
The other thing with doing this is like there's so many advantages out there that like you're kind of saying, Tyson, like so it's a tribe of five. After they split it, there are three idols out there. What if all three idols had gone to one side and then you have somebody, what if someone without one of the idols wins the individual immunity? And then that would be four people immune. What if that fifth person plays their shot in the dark and gets it? Five out of five immune. What would they do? Would no one go home?
Man, what would they do?
Someone has to go home, right?
So I know that Jeff would love it. Whatever they would decide to do, though, this would be he would be thrilled.
Oh, they'd keep them. They'd keep them. I don't think they'd send anyone home. I think they'd be like, okay, this tribal council was a bust.
You beat the game. We're flushing all the advantages at least, but you guys all get to go home. That'd be crazy. What if you were the second tribe and you walk in and nobody is on the jury? Like they didn't vote anyone out?
I can tell you things would have gone a lot differently this time had that happened on the first tribal. Though, like crazy to think. And it is, it's like those things like you think about, like they've worked out so far. Like even the fact that like split votes on the winner has only happened one time in 42 seasons. Like that's crazy that stuff like that doesn't happen more often. And this is one of those cases like Riley, you're right. Like it would have been incredible to see, and it wouldn't have taken that much difference for it to pan out that way. So the challenge is something Jeremy and I have done. We both failed at it, I believe.
Oh, I hate that challenge.
I hate that challenge too. I thought I'd be okay at it. I can stand on a surfboard. Like, how come I can't like do that?
I hate that. I did it twice.
Ew, yuck.
I hate it so much. You don't even know. Like, it's
what
just
makes
the
it
worst.
So bad?
I don't even know. Like, I feel like I can, I have a little bit of balance. You know what I mean? But like, you know, the waves are going and then someone falls in next year and then you get another wave. It's just, it sucks, man. Yeah. And then my feet are all jacked up. I play sports my whole life. So my feet are all gnarly and everything.
Yeah. They look like a witch's face, dude. Gnarled old corns and stuff all over.
All right. Enough.
You're going to get a lot of
I thought you averted your gaze. I feel like we're finding out that wasn't true.
Peripherals. I used peripherals to examine Jeremy. And Jeremy, you're going to get a ton of foot cameo requests now. Let's see those feet.
I've had those. Before.
You're gonna get more. You're getting more.
I don't want those.
Really? Just jack your prices up.
No. People get a little freaky out there with feet, man. Okay. I don't want my feet all over the place.
So let's say, big Survivor fan here. This guy.
Okay.
And I'm looking for some feet content.
I love these questions.
Yeah, I'm looking for some feet content. I go to Jeremy Collins. Show me them feet. And you say no, and I say name your price.
Oh, name my price.
I just want to see him for 20 seconds. Just a video of you showing your naked feet on my camera for 20 seconds.
I'm going to throw a price out there that's going to be so ridiculous that you say, I'm not doing that.
You're shutting it. You're going to try and shut it down without saying no.
Yes.
Okay.
$25,000
for 20 seconds of foot content.
Okay. 10,000 per second. How about that?
Woo. Riley, you paying that?
I'm not paying that. I'm not paying anything for this. You can keep your feet to yourself.
Riley, you don't want to see my feet, man. My feet are bad. Man.
You're going to get so many cameo feet requests now, dude. I'm telling you. Riley, people want to see your feet too.
My price would be lower, but I don't know.
How low?
Probably like, I'd probably do it for like $1,000. I don't care.
For 20 seconds of you just showing your feet to the camera.
Yeah.
It's not even live. It's a video I'm that feeling- you get to send.
I'm feeling like your price is really low on this, Tyson.
I'm doing it for $200, dude.
Oh, my God.
20 seconds of feet, pure silence.
I could probably be talked into that, $200.
I'm not doing it. But the other thing is my feet are, they're recognizable because they're so gnarly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so what are you thinking, though? Like, they're so gnarly, they're recognizable. So you're thinking they're ending up somewhere and everyone's yes. like, that's Jeremy's feet?
Exactly.
In like a GIF or something?
Exactly. They're not going to know yours unless they see the little pink nail polish on.
I have pink nail polish on right now, actually. Man, Jeremy, you know me so well. This is why he won Survivor. Okay, so let's get back into it. So this balance board thing, it's, you know, 2 out of 3 panelists here hate it. That's 66% of Americans. And, that's the way it goes.
Wait, Riley, you like it?
I haven't tried it. I don't know. I think it's a decent challenge for TV.
I thought it looked great, actually, because the waves and those guys were balancing really well. Yeah, and fingers, I was hoping Romeo was going to win just to throw another wrench in the works there.
Yeah.
And then High won on his side. Jonathan won in his side. And then Jonathan also wins the reward for his side. And what was the reward again?
They got kebabs.
Kebabs. Okay.
I've had that. Have you had that?
I mean, I don't know if I've had it on Survivor. Probably. I've had everything, dude.
Well, I mean, everyone has kebabs in real life. I'm talking about Survivor kebabs.
I think I have had Survivor kebabs. I have. They are good. But everything's good out there, you know, because you're starving.
I guess so.
But very good. They were good.
I remember it. Oh.
And then they send both groups of 5 to separate beaches to scramble. And I love that. I do like that. Like, if you're going to do this, like, part of me was like, are they going to be in group of 10 and be able to know what each side is doing?
Yeah.
And then they can, you know, rally together and just, you know, take 2 people out back to back. But they didn't do that. They just were like, you got to scramble on your own. You got to scramble on your own, which I think, like, if you're going to split the groups into 5s like this, I think that's fair. Like,
yeah,
I prefer that than to just like having all 10 mastermind both oustings.
Yeah.
And the scrambling goes, and Romeo, you know, feels like he's on the bottom, but then people start getting annoyed by Rox. And to be fair, Rox has been bossy the entire season. He's been one of those guys with a lot of bark, very little bite as far as like building shelter and camp life and stuff goes. And people,
I thought he was doing a good job building shelter.
It seems like he was doing more recently with the firewood and stuff, but early on he was directing most of it and then telling people how to do stuff right after they'd done it. Like, he was taking credit for their actions.
That's pretty
annoying. Which I love. Yeah. As a firefighter, are you ever like, hey guy, aim the hose over there right after he has aimed the hose over there? Is that?
We have plenty of guys that do that on the job. And everyone looks around like, oh my God, get this guy out of here. we can't vote him off though.
No, you gotta so you gotta bite your tongue and play nice.
No, we don't play nice at all.
Because nobody gets voted out either way, so you can say whatever you want.
Firefighters are the worst individuals alive. They are ruthless, relentless. They will rip you to shreds.
So if I'm in an emergency, don't call a firefighter.
No, call the firefighter, but If you have anything that's like, if your feet are gnarly like my feet, and then they come in and you have, you know, an ankle injury, we're going to go home back to the firehouse and talk about your gnarly feet. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
we are ruthless. They're just horrible people. It's just terrible.
Yeah. But that's that's what makes it fun, though, right?
It's a brotherhood, you know?
I love Jeremy's stories of firefighting, like on the island. I was like, tell me another one, Jeremy. Him just like hanging out in houses while they're burning and eating stuff out of the fridge.
Yeah.
What?
No, but he didn't really. That's what I assumed.
If my house is burning down and you guys are there to put out the fire, you can have anything you want from the fridge.
Dude.
I don't care.
If my house starts on fire, I'm throwing some steaks on the stove, just on the counter to cook naturally with the flames. So when the firefighters go in there, there's some filet mignons on the counter.
Wow, we appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. And that's something that everybody, all the listeners at home, as a service to your local firefighters, if that happens to your house, get some food out for them.
Yes, we appreciate that.
But don't really, just get out of the house.
Do both.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Heard it from a firefighter. Yeah. So Mike here is torn on this group of it's Romeo, Omar, High, Rox, and Mike. And Mike is concerned about voting Rox out because he's got allies on the other side and he's allies with Rox and he's concerned with what his allies on the other side will think if Rox goes, which is very, very logical thought process for Mike. Like you have 100%. To do something predictable to the people who don't know what you're doing in this moment. And you have to stick to whatever thing you kind of had in the works beforehand. So Mike's hesitation, 100% accurate.
100% accurate. And if it doesn't go, then you have a whole lot of cleaning up to do. And you don't want to clean up. You just want your game to be nice and clean itself.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work to go clean up a mess like that.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say, in all the times I've played, you look for the least messy move that's going to get you further in the game. And that's generally how you decide between a move is like, I'm going to have to clean up with six people on this move. I only have to clean up with two people on this move.
Exactly.
You're doing the two person cleanup every time.
All day.
Yep. And so we shoot to the other side, the other group, and it's Jonathan with all of the girls. We got Drea, Marianne, Lindsay, and Tara, is that her name? Tori. Riley, my fact checker there, just stares at me blankly as I say Tara.
You got too much CNN Plus jumbling around in that brain, man. You gotta get back in survivor mode.
I'm trying, dude. 600 hours worth of content I did for CNN Plus that will never see the light of day.
Oh, that's devastating. Yeah. Where can we get that somewhere? Where can I find that?
I don't know who's the CEO of CNN. That's who we got to talk to.
I'll make a call.
So Jonathan's over there and he decides that because he has the idol, it's time to make a move. I agree with that.
I see that a lot though. So he said in the episode, a lot of times when you get the idol, you kind of sit back. And I have seen that. I remember Spencer. No. I remember Spencer sat back and chilled one day. And I was like, Spencer, like, just because you're safe, everyone's not safe, we got to work. And then he jumped up and worked. But for the most part, I feel like when you have that power, you go crazy and you try to make a move. And I was, when I got the idol, I tried to not do that because I thought about it. Like, I don't want to be that guy to be bossy and running the show. Like, I just want to, just let me do this. I won. And now let's, whatever you guys want to do, let's work together. You know what I mean?
So I think, I mean, it can be both ways. It depends on where you're at in your game. For me, it's like if you have been itching to make a move and need to make a move, but have been afraid to make a move knowing that it'll make you the target or could potentially backfire on you with the protection of the immunity necklace, now you can afford to make that move and give yourself 3 days of damage control.
So I
think like for me, like on Winners at War, like I was never going to go against the Tony, Sarah, Ben thingy that they had going on. But if I won immunity, I definitely was. I was going to push and I was going to push hard at that moment. And so,
but if you don't succeed in that, there's control that was going to get you, bring you back after those 3 days. You would have to just continue to win. And
yeah, I mean, there was no damage control for me anyways. The writing was on the wall pretty clearly, 6 months before the show even started. But, but you know, we did what we could.
Yeah.
So,
let's not talk about that.
I try to purge it from my memory as much as possible. So Jonathan's like, I think his thinking here is correct that far, at least, is that like he needs to do something, but then he gets like pretty bossy and he wants to flush Drea's idol. And he talks to Marianne, and she's on board with it until he tells Marianne that he's going to use her as a decoy, which is one of Survivor 101's classic lessons. Don't tell someone you're using them as a decoy, and don't use anybody in your alliance as a decoy.
Don't ever
they
do that.
Will not be in your alliance after that.
And
they're gonna turn so fast.
Like, why even use Marianne as a decoy too when the obvious boot is Tori? Like, just be like, yeah, tell Drea you're voting Tori. Drea already doesn't like Tori.
It's because just, Jonathan is not smart.
I mean, yes.
Yeah. They say that.
The other thing he does is what he tells Drea is he's like, oh, well, we're targeting Marianne because we want to get her idol out. Drea has an idol.
Drea immediately says, I have an idol too. So he must be saying that about me. And
that was a bad move. Bad move after bad move.
But then it even gets better because he goes to Lindsay and he's like, this is what we're going to do. Marianne's going to be the decoy. And Lindsay's like, why would you do that with Marianne when she's in your alliance? And what if Drea does play your idol? Then Marianne does actually go home and she's someone that's working with you.
Someone's in your alliance. Yes.
And Jonathan's like, oh, now I got to think about this. Like, this is something I'd never thought about. And all I have written here in my notes is Jonathan is bad at strategy.
I have written down is four letters, LMAO.
And the fact that Lindsay like explained it clearly enough for him to be like, oh.
Right away. He got it. Like, okay, let me rethink this now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And with that, we do move into tribal. A little side note here before we move into tribal is that I have some insider info about Jonathan. They apparently call him Gills at home. That's his nickname is Gills because he is really good at free diving and spear fishing.
Oh, yeah.
So
he's good at everything, isn't he, though? Like,
I mean, compared to the group of people that's out there, Rachel's been watching it with me and she's like, so there's like no athletes on this season?
Wait. Now, if Jonathan was on one of our seasons, you don't think he would do what he's doing?
I think I could swim at least as well as him.
I mean, but okay, when is that war? I know we're not supposed to be talking about this, but the first episode, the first challenge when we're wrestling at sea.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to crush that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he's tall and big. Correct.
He's just a monster. You know what I mean? He's just too big.
Yeah, he is big.
And it seems like he's pretty good at the balancing challenges and stuff. I don't know if he's a Joe Anglum, but I think he's pretty good, man. I think he's
He's definitely solid, but I also think that the challenge prowess of the others this season is not necessarily the highest bar. I agree.
I guess the level that he's on and with the rest of the tribe, it is a lot different, a lot wider than if he was on another season with
us. I think if you took like a bunch of challenge, what do they call them? Challenge beasts.
Challenge beasts.
And put him on there with them. I don't think he's necessarily that standout.
I think he's better at the group challenges too. Because some of it's like he can hold the ladder that people got to climb like just by himself.
That was
huge. He can push that boulder out of the sands. You know,
That's crazy.
Yeah, but then the other tribe did it too after they watched him do it.
But way later. They had to take they had to stop the challenge, bring everybody. Say,
yeah,
all right,
that was crazy.
Everybody come out to them. Yes. He's a monster. I'm going to give him credit. He's strategically, he's not all that great.
He's not a monster strategically.
Okay. No.
And spoiler, but now that Tori is out, there's nobody to stand in his way. She was the other great challenge competitor.
Yeah, I was actually pretty impressed with her stuff. So yeah, she had won the first two, which was
the first two. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But Lindsay was all right, though. Lindsay's smart and she's doing well at that.
She was close.
Was it Lindsay the first episode that was, when they did that, when they sprinted out, was it her that went on the long trek with Drea and was it High?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's an athlete. She was moving on that.
Yeah.
Man.
And you can tell she is. Like, she's, yeah.
She's a dietitian. I'd bet that she's pretty physically fit, too.
Yeah. So there are some, but I think in general, like, this isn't a season of challenge beasts. And also, why is Probst not calling Jonathan by his last name? It must be like Poindexter or something like that. You think his last name is Poindexter?
Wait. You know they call him Gills, but you don't know his last name?
No.
What? We gotta find that out, man.
His last name is Young. So
Young.
I don't know if that'd really work as a.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
That wouldn't work. And no. Calling Jeff Mr. Jeff, is that the play from here on out?
No. We don't do that.
I don't like it.
Call him Jeffrey.
I called him Jeffrey. They don't show it on TV.
I called him it before, too.
Yeah, they don't.
I loved it.
They just snip around that like it never happened.
They played it when I said it.
Oh, they did?
Yes, when I played my idol for, I think it was when I played it for Fishback. And I said, hold on, Jeffrey. Yeah, they played it.
Okay. They didn't play mine. So you have that on me.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we get into tribal council here, and these tribal councils, I mean, they're intense, they're crazy, they're both compact, and so that makes it like extra tense. And as we get into tribal council, the music leading up to it, did anybody else notice that weird music, or is that just me? I have in parentheses the music. It was different, and I didn't love it, but we'll move on because nobody else noticed it. But
I guarantee the viewers noticed
the music was like way different than tribal council music normally is.
I gotta rewatch that.
Yeah, we get into the first tribal council. It's the one with all the guys, and Mike talks about like kind of what we did, like when everything's split and broken, and then they separate the two groups. Like everything you'd calculated goes out the window, and you now have to reassess and remaneuver and adapt. And Rox says that everything was mellow at camp. Yeah. And this is the moment where, what are you thinking? Jeremy, I'm sitting there and we just had this thing. And I sit at tribal council. I go, Jeff, everything's been mellow at camp. What's happening to me?
You're going home. I've been voted out twice.
Yeah.
In my career.
Uh-huh.
And the both times that day that I got voted out, I was looking around like, wow, it's quiet around here. This is crazy. It's really mm-hmm. quiet. But in my mind, I was like, I'm all right. Yeah. They're not going to take me out. I'm okay. No, if it's that quiet, you're the one that they're coming after.
I've been voted out 4 times. And here's the thing, too, with that, though. In your defense, Jeremy, sometimes there are quiet moments and some people play the game and they don't even know what's going on the entire time. So for them, it's always quiet, right? And then on top of that, unless you're 100% certain that it is you, you're not going to make waves just because it's quiet, because you still are like, there's a hope that it's not me. So there's really the only play you can do is try your hardest without creating chaos to then truly make it you.
But even the people that don't do anything, that are, you know, they don't know what's going on and they're just rolling through the game, they still see the chaos going around them, don't they?
I don't think they fully understand it.
No?
I don't think so. Like, I've been a part of so many of these games, and you watch people that are just, like, clueless to the entirety of it all. Like, there's people who don't even check in on what conversations happened. They don't watch any of that. They're just like, we're here, and we're with you. And you're like, well, that's a weird way to live out here, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah.
So I do think there are people like that. I'm not one of them. Like, I have to know. I'd rather get voted out than go the whole time not knowing what's going on.
Yeah. Hey, you kind of want that craziness to go on so you could kind of figure out what's going on, because you can decipher things when all the chaos is going on.
Yeah, exactly. And then a lot of times it switches so often that as long as you, like, duck a little bit, it could shift away from you.
100%.
So, yeah, Rock's writing on the wall as soon as he says things are mellow at camp. And all the guys talk about it being like the way the guys' dynamic is. We're just chill and level-headed, and we're hanging out at camp. Not a care in the world. Somebody's going to care soon.
Yes, yeah, Rock's Roy.
And it's Rock's Roy. And he's out. What are your initial thoughts on this, Jeremy, before we get into the second half of Tribal?
I mean, I don't mind seeing Rock's go. Like, he rubbed me the wrong way a bunch of times, the way he talks down to people and everything. I will say this, though. When he went to, what did he go to? Like, he had to go to an
exile.
Island by himself.
Yeah.
Exile. He did all that, building all the shelter and stuff. That's impressive. And so when he says that, you know, he's trying to get everybody to work around camp, and then he went and did it all himself, I was like, that's tough. By that time, you're tired. You're like, you just want to just, like, get a little food and some water in you and just get your strength back. And this dude's out there working. I gave him props for that. That was a lot of work.
Yeah, I do remember that too. And he got the fire going and everything. And then Jeff came into camp and talked to him a little bit. That is true. Earlier in the season, when they asked if he had taken the advantage or not, and he just wouldn't answer, that's like, you got to say something. Like, he had a lot of moments where he did definitely maneuver incorrectly.
Yeah.
And then, I honestly, as we were watching this season, I thought he was going to be one of the first to go, because he was so bossy the first episode. So the fact that he, like, kind of worked his way back in and kind of stepped back a little bit, and even though he was kind of directing some things at camp, it didn't seem like he was getting on people's nerves as much. But so Rox is gone. And
one
of
the best names, too. In
Rox Roy.
Right? Yes, I like that a lot.
Powerful.
Matches
strong.
His personality, too, immediately.
What's his last name? Because, you know, the combo could be really, really strong.
Bailey. Rox Roy.
Rox Roy
Bailey.
I like it.
I like that.
Yeah. Strong. So we go to Tribal Council number 2, and all the girls and Jonathan walk in, and they are shocked.
Yes.
I believe Rox Roy was in the Majority Alliance before this tribe split thing happened. And so nobody would have assumed it was him. I think most people would have assumed Romeo was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably, for the safety of the people in the Majority Alliance, would have been the move, right?
Yes.
Then you're not putting out any fires.
Yes.
So you can immediately see it on Drea's face, like, nonstop. Like, she is reeling. She's, like, looking around. She's, like, doing math in her head. She's, like, looking back and forth at the jury. You can see her, like, looking up, like, into her brain, just, like, trying to calculate, like, what happened, how it happened. And you can tell that she's just, like, cannot, like, fully get a grasp on it. In so much that Jeff, when he asks her questions, she's like, I don't know. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. And we go to Marianne, and she talks about, like, now having to adjust based on seeing Rox Roy on the jury, which is true. Like, even if you had a plan, whatever your plan was as the second group going in, now you also have to be adaptable to who you see just barely went home.
Yes.
That's when we start getting into Drea's mindset and how she's breaking everything down. And I don't know if you want to lead from here, Jeremy. You want me to keep going with it?
So it is tough. Like, it's such a powerful moment watching it. And I thought that Drea was the first one to like realize what's going on. And I don't even think Marianne realized it yet. But as soon as, I thought Drea realized it first, but couldn't express herself. But then Marianne did such a great job expressing herself on the severity of how minorities play this game and how, like, just socially everything's different. I think about it like this. So as a Black man, I think differently when I go different places. And I'm always thinking, so for instance, I was in Pennsylvania this past weekend with my daughter playing basketball. And coming back from the gym, I wanted to grab some pizza for her and everything. And I'm Googling pizza places, but in my mind, I'm like, I don't know the people in there if they would like people that look like me. So, and I'm driving and I'm like, I found an Italian spot and I said, I'm going to try it. I go in, the guy was awesome. I was talking to him and everything. But then I wonder, like, how come everybody else doesn't feel the way I feel? You know what I'm saying? So like playing the game of Survivor, and when you have other minorities out there with you, you have to think about when they go home, how other people are going to look at you going forward and how you can play this game. It's so, Marianne did such a good job talking about it. It's so different. With me, I needed Tasha because I know Tasha and I, we could talk about it. Tasha and Spencer were so much closer than me and Tasha, but everybody around us thought me and Tasha were the closest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Me and Nat, you know, I see Nat and I'm like, I have Nat, me and her can go back and forth. I was close with Nat, but Nat had other relationships with other people that were even tighter than mine. You know what I mean? So it's just a weird dynamic when minorities are playing with each other and then they start seeing each other go out, and it's just a crazy game how you have to decipher how you can move on in the game. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think Marianne, she talks about Survivor isn't just strategy. It's shrinking the social dynamics of the world down into this little microcosm. And that's always been like the pitch of Survivor.
Yeah.
Is like, it's the world in a bubble, and it mirrors like real life in certain situations. And I thought that her even going on to say that she had to play her idol in this moment because she recognized the perception of the audience, which was like really, really poignant for me because I thought that too. And then also from my standpoint and who I am, and being on Survivor, I also thought, like, even moving forward in this game, now if there's a moment where I need to vote Marianne or Drea out, I now have to make sure that it is not in any way, shape, or form some type of bias or some conscious bias or anything. And so now I am also hyper aware of what is happening there.
Yeah, I like the other thing that I liked when they started talking about it, and then Jonathan was saying, you know, what are you calling us, racist? And it's like, no, slow down, like, have some empathy about my feelings. It's not about you right now.
Right.
Think about what I'm going through right now. I'm
and
going
Drea
through
did say that,
yeah. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful, and I liked Lindsay. Lindsay jumped right in, and she realized what was going on, and It was a great moment to something that was a moment for Marianne and Drea that was really emotional. You know what I mean? And it was a great moment that you could see Jonathan was coming a little bit, but then they were able to like figure things out and talk it out. And it's cool. Like that's Survivor, man. It's cool how they do that on Survivor.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that Marianne initially was such a big character, like the first few episodes where you were like, all she does is talk and talk and talk, and she's very silly and she's very outgoing. And over the course of the last few episodes, there's been a maturity to her. Like, yeah. She's still silly and funny and she's a big character, but then when she needs to sit down and think about something and articulate it in a way that is very, very mature for someone. I mean, she's what, 21, 22, yeah, somewhere in there. She's so great. Young. So the fact that she's like, she recognized that she needed to play the idol and that she was going to play it with Drea. And
she's great. I'm a huge fan of Marianne. Marianne, like right from the first episode when she was saying, like, Jeff called her out and said something, I was like, I'm a huge fan of her. The way she was able to articulate everything, and I dig her. I think she's doing all right.
I also think that she said something else here. She said her biggest fear was staying quiet during an injustice on the show based on strategy, and that she didn't want to get into a point like that, and that she talked to and I think everybody that has played Survivor, especially multiple times, recognizes this more so than a first time player. But Marianne like hit it really, really perfect where she said, technically and mathematically, we all have a 1 in 18 shot here of winning, but based on, you know, who you are, what you are, where you come from, et cetera, that's not a true 1 in 18 shot.
Yeah.
It can either be so bigger or good. Smaller. And
yeah, that was so good.
Yeah. And I really liked it. I have in quotes here a moment bigger than the game. Was that Jeff?
Yeah.
Or was that?
Did he say that?
Somebody said it. I don't want to give credit to somebody who didn't say it. And then yeah. Like, I said it.
Just take
it. I quoted it from someone.
It really was. It was just a good moment in the game. And it's always good to have a piece of the game or a moment in the game where you could step out and say, like, this is bigger than just Survivor. And us as humans need to learn from this. You know what I mean? And I thought it was awesome.
Can I ask you, if you were Drea in her position in the game, walking in the second tribal council, seeing Roxroy and Chanel on the jury, what is going through your head right now? Is it the same as Drea? Is it different? What are your initial reads there?
I could see where she was flustered because I wouldn't know where to go with it. I will say, like, when we saw, and it wasn't at the merge, but when you see Nadia and then Val go out, you're like, wait a second, like, what's going on over here? And that never sits well. And, you know, we would question that. And, you know, these guys, all the other guys says it wasn't that, it wasn't, you know, it had nothing to do with who they were. It was just part of the game, but it always sits in the back of your mind. So for them to actually, like, we actually talked about it to these people, for Drea to just see it and then have to figure it all out on the fly. I don't know. I know that I wouldn't be as good as Marianne. I could see myself doing what Drea did and trying to figure things out and not being able to give a clear answer to Jeff, but I don't know how I would go about it. I know that I would say the same thing with them, is I'm playing this idol because I'm not going to be there. And I am not voting for Marianne, or, you know, or Marianne not voting for them. I could not do it because it just doesn't look right for three minorities to be back to back to back right from the jump. It just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. And, yeah, there's no way I would have been able to do it.
And to go back with Nadia and Val, what do you think was their disadvantage there? Was that because I know that since 41, CBS has made a big push to make sure that there are 50% people of color on every single season of Survivor. If that were the case for Val and Nadia back then, would they have stayed in the game? Is that something that's questionable? Like,
I don't think there's a question that if there was even one more person of color on that side, that wouldn't have gone that way. It's not a question. I guarantee if you ask Val and ask Nadia, you could ask the people on the tribe, you know, I don't think there's a question that it would have been different.
Okay. Yeah, that's, and like, I've had this conversation with Jervis multiple times. He was my ride or die on Blood versus Water. And he was, were you on the panel that went to CBS? Did you talk to CBS about?
No, I wasn't on that panel. No.
So yeah, I know there was a panel of former contestants that went and talked to CBS directly. And Jervis just said, like, from his point of view and his perspective, he was like, it wasn't even like that there was subconscious bias. It wasn't that there was even like visible racism. It was more about the fact that, like, when there's two or three people of color versus 17 Caucasian people, the bonding is more difficult. Yeah. The backgrounds are different, and yeah, you have to then be someone different and try and like, and it's hard, more difficult to navigate for those reasons.
100%. It's 100%. I mean, like, I get it. Like, people, for the most part, have connections with people that have similar backgrounds to them and look like them and this and that.
It's so just easy to bond because you have those similarities right off the bat.
Especially in that situation, not in Survivor, you know, not saying that, like, I couldn't bond with you as like, we were athletes and we could bond, you know what I mean? But like, there's a different type of bond with someone. Cause it's like that, you know, like, oh, this guy, he kind of looks like me, you know, we could bro down a little bit. And we would see it all the time. And, my first season, when you see, Wes and Alec and, you know, they're all broing down and everything. And I'm like, oh, like I'm sitting off to myself. Like, this isn't fun. You know what I mean? Even right. though I had a bond with two other firefighters, there's still a separate bond that you just can't really you can't overcome that sometimes, you know?
Or just like, if you just imagine this tribal council, if like Marianne hadn't been there and it'd just been Drea by herself, like, you probably don't even get this conversation or this whole thing unfold.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fact that they had each other, because then I think Drea also really found her footing too after Marianne kind of started it.
Yeah.
Or really,
yeah.
Drea started it. And they, them going back and forth is what made the conversation so good.
Right. And yeah, it was definitely a beautiful moment. I loved that Drea immediately recognized a situation that she didn't feel A was right, and B that the writing was on the wall for her, and that she needed to adjust accordingly. And then Marianne coming in and recognizing what Drea was saying and then verbalizing it the way she did. And even the moment where Marianne turned to the group and was like, I will not and cannot write Drea's name down. It's just like, I cannot this time. And then she just was like, you know, turned and was like, everybody can hear this. And then they have this crazy voting process, because at this point, like, everything is so serious and it seems like this entire conversation is now transcended or above the game, to the point where the game seems trivial, going up and like casting votes now and being secretive and, you know, for your own personal gain. It just seemed like a weird spot to then transition back to that. And it's interesting. We get Marianne and Drea both playing their idols like they said they would. And then they just have an open, Jonathan's safe because he won immunity. And then we just have a conversation about, is it Lindsay or is it Tori? And then Tori plays her shot in the dark. I don't know why Lindsay didn't also play her shot in the dark too.
Oh,
I think it's because she wants to save it. Yeah, I think because you can only play it once.
But the thing is if Tori plays it and wins, now Lindsay goes home.
Sure.
Yeah.
So is it worth her playing the shot in the dark? Because I guess you figure she's got a 1 in 6 chance of going home, right? With Tori playing it.
But I mean, so if she doesn't, I mean, you can only use it once. Is that a fact?
Yeah, because you turn in the dice,
and
it's done. Otherwise, every time there'd be a vote where your vote doesn't matter, you'd play it. Like Romeo would have played it in this one too, even though he was probably pretty sure that Rox was going home. But he could have just done it for insurance. But instead, it's like, no, you save that because, you know, otherwise you won't have it later.
Yeah. Okay.
I still think there's part of me, as if I were Lindsay, where I would be like, negate Tori playing hers just in case, because
does it make any difference though? because there's only one scroll, or maybe it's 2 out of 12, like Jeff said. But basically, it's like, if Tori gets safety, doesn't that mean that all the scrolls that are left
then are the scrolls safe? Are done?
I think they reset the scrolls.
Oh, I thought it was like there's 6 and then there's 5 and there's 4.
I bet production resets the scrolls.
I think it depends. Okay.
To 1 in 6 every time.
It's always 1 in 6.
But that's what I would assume. But like the thing is that like...
So in the only case it would matter, let's say they reset the scrolls, is if Tori hits on 1 in 6 and Lindsay hits on 1 in 6.
Correct.
So what are the chances of that happening?
I mean...
I played enough poker to know that could happen. Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. That was the only thing at the end of that where I was like, would that have made sense? Maybe. I love the tribal council. I love the fact that we got all of that from Drea and Marianne, and then that transitioned to sitting and having a conversation about it, but then also a conversation about who's going home. They're just going to talk it out. Is that something we are going to see in the future more now that it's happened? Like, you know how the standing up at tribal council, you used to not even be allowed to do that. If I were to stand up at tribal council in season 18, Jeff probably would have told me to sit down.
Is that right? Yeah.
Most probably.
We've done it. I don't think we did it my first season, 29. I don't think we did any of that.
No, I think they started it like Game Changers was.
Was that the first live tribal?
I think so.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Game Changers, I think, was the... Because I think JT stood up and walked over and started talking to people. That's my understanding. So, yeah. Then we get Tori.
Tori goes.
She goes. She goes home.
I think the right person went home.
Yeah, I think so, too. I was starting to... I don't necessarily agree with Tori's gameplay, but I like that she's playing hard.
Yeah.
Like she is making reads and then she's acting on those reads, which I appreciated. She apparently prayed about prayed to God to protect her with the role.
Yeah.
I've got some news for all of you listeners and viewers of the show out there. God doesn't watch Survivor. He doesn't care about Survivor.
He doesn't care.
No. He's got bigger things on his plate than tuning in every Wednesday night. He does listen to the podcast. I heard that, but I don't think he watches the show. So with that, Riley.
So we move into
our superlatives. This is
all right, let's do it.
This is a thing we do every week, Jeremy, where we list our favorites and our least favorites and move on down the line.
Favorite players? Is that what you're saying?
You'll hear it.
We'll start with best move of the episode. So like best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kind of strategic move. Tyson, you got one? It's been a while since you've done any superlatives.
It has. I think Marianne, like, playing her idol with Drea and recognizing the perspective of the audience, which is something especially a brand new first season player would not always fully grasp.
I like that. I would have said that. But since you took that, I'm going to say Omar. I liked how he... everyone had a plan for Romeo, and he just went in and flipped it all up and switched it up. I think that was a really good move on his part.
Yeah.
He's kind of doing a good job. He's doing a good job on that side. Real quietly, too.
I think so, too.
Riley, I think it's... I was going to say, just at least, like, shout out Lindsay, who understood that the decoy vote should be Tori and not Marianne. Kind of a low bar for the best move there, but hey, we'll give it to her.
All right,
so how about the worst move, then?
Jonathan.
Just basically everything.
Jonathan,
rough episode
for
him.
Yeah,
not good.
Yeah.
Roxroy too.
Yeah.
Roxroy by not
feeling comfy.
Recognize. Yeah. Like, you gotta make some moves, man. If it's too quiet, you got to do something, man. Yeah.
I'll also say, I think that getting rid of Rox instead of Romeo might be a mistake, because he was kind of the swing vote in that tribe. And I think at least with Rox, he's like easy to read and really straightforward. You probably know where he is. And Romeo is going to be like, I don't know. Romeo at one point called High a huge weasel, but I think Romeo is also a huge weasel. So.
Yeah. I think so too. And I also think that like going with Romeo would have kept things more chill on the other side, as Romeo was the obvious for the majority.
So now there's going to be damage control. Like as we move into next episode, that's definitely something that those men are now going to have to like answer for.
Yeah. Feels like they took a risk for like very, very little upside, maybe like no upside at all.
Correct. I think that men's alliance is, it's going to stop before it even got going.
Guys are too catty, man. They can't stick together.
They could if they trusted each other, but it's about trust. And if you don't trust people, even if that's what you want to happen, it's not going to happen.
Yep. Okay. So favorite moment of the episode, a little different than best move.
Jeremy.
I like Marianne when the way she just spoke and put it all out there. She did a really good job. And Jeff said something. Didn't Jeff say something like, wow, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Something like that. She did a really good job. I'm a big fan of her. I already said it.
Yeah.
She's doing all right.
She is. She did. And, you know, just to add on top of that, Drea, I just loved watching her face as she's like going through it all. And like, you see her like side eyeing and like squinting and like really processing and figuring out how to say and what to say and telling Jeff, I don't know yet.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think
you always want to give Jeff something.
You do. And the fact that she's like, I don't know. And it's okay. Like I have tried to teach my children to be okay with saying like, I don't know. And it's okay to not know. And you can figure it out and you can learn. But like, don't say something just to say something when it's okay to admit that you don't in that moment know something.
Can you come over my house and help me out? Cause my kids think.
Did you teach him it's okay to not know?
No. That's why I think you need to come over and help me out.
I have to now. Okay. Yeah. My rates are pretty steep, but in between doing feet cameos, I can probably figure out a time to get on over there.
Let's barter on this then. Let's barter on this.
Okay. I do actually.
My kids, all of them, I know that. Oh, really? You know everything. That's all they say in my house.
Yeah. No, my kids do a fair share of that too. And they're 3 and 6. So.
I'd have some more, man.
No, I'm done, dude.
Two boys would be great for you, man.
Would it?
Two boys would be great. They're not exhausting at all.
The other thing too,
I picked Riley.
Really?
I called my shot.
Oh, he just called it. He predicted.
Oh, okay.
I picked it. I said, two girls and two boys. I called my shot, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is impressive. Did you do things differently? Like, I know that there's books that say, like, different positions, different, like, times of the moon cycle, like, all that stuff.
The two boys, we did, like, the Chinese calendar. And it worked.
Wow. See, yeah, Riley?
It worked.
It worked. Works 100% of the time in the Collins household.
why aren't all the boys born on like the same month of the year if it's tied to the calendar? Like it just be, wouldn't you have like a ton of boys?
Riley, don't question the method.
All right.
I will say this.
You got to be thinking about it.
If you notice like families that have like a bunch of kids in at certain times, you'll see like, oh, it's all girls right here. And then the next year or something, it's all boys. It always happens. I'm telling you, it works, man. Don't mind my dog. My dog's crazy.
Listen, Jeremy, I have two kids, and I know with every kid that you have after that, your expenses double as a family. I don't know how or why that works, but I can't afford that to double two
after
more times.
After three, it doesn't double. After two, it doesn't double. Because like the third one, you just like, go eat some
feed them scraps.
Yeah, okay. Get out of here, kid.
You give them the clothes the other kid had.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't really feel it until they start going to college and stuff. That's what you got to worry about.
Ouch. Well, they better be earning scholarships.
Hey, that's all. You just have to have superior athletes as kids and then they can get scholarships and then you don't have to worry about that.
Couldn't they be intelligent too?
Not my kids.
Okay. Your kids might listen to this one day, Jeremy, like down the road, like, they're like, oh, our dad did so many exciting things. Let's listen to all the content he put out there.
My son, I watched this kid climbing up on the chair, jumping off the chair, thinking it was the greatest thing. And I just sat there and watched him. And then he climbs up to the top of the chair and jumping off. And he turned and looked at like the little swing set, you know? And I saw him look at the swing set and he's like, oh, I'm going to jump in that thing. And I said, hey, don't do it, yo. And then he just said, all right. And then just jumped off the chair. He's an athlete.
Okay. Okay. Well, fingers crossed that he does something spectacular in the sporting world.
Yes.
Riley, what else we got on the list?
Winner picks.
Winner picks. Jeremy?
All right, come to me last. I got to think.
Omer.
Omer, okay.
Oh, you think Omer?
He's playing the safest game right now. He hasn't been figured out by anybody. He has alliances everywhere. He's weaving some webs. He's protecting who he wants to protect without everyone knowing that he's protecting that person, per se. We get a little snippet of him whispering to Marianne to play her idol if he says so. Like, he's like, people need to feel comfortable and like you're working for them, and he's doing a great job of proving to people that he's putting a little work in for all of them.
I like that.
I've been driving the mic train and I'm not getting off. I still think that he is in a great position. I think he was completely right on this episode too, when he was like, dude, we cannot vote out Rocks because then we will be untrustworthy. We'll have to explain it and everything. And then,
but then he still did it.
Well, but he had to at that point. See, once High decides, hey, I'm voting Romeo, then that's three votes out of five. So at that point, you may as well just throw, once High decides he's voting Rocks, it's three votes out of five. Okay. So you may as well put your vote on it too, not be the odd one out, which is a bummer. So he doesn't get his way on this episode, but I still think he's right and he's a smart guy. I think he's good.
Okay. All right. So everything in me wants to say like, hi, like I want to say that, but I'm terrible at doing this. And I'm going to go like all the way to the left and I'm going to say Lindsay.
Okay.
I like Lindsay.
I can see that.
Lindsay, she's not, they're not showing a whole bunch of her right now. She just has little snippets here and there. And she's never like on the chopping block. She's always in a good position. And I think she's going to make her move at the right time. And I'm always horrible at this. Like every time I pick the wrong person, even when I played, I said, I'm going to win my first season and I lost. And my second season, I said, I'm not going to win this thing. Like, what am I doing out here? But I'm just going to have fun. And I won. So like,
that's how I won my third season was I was like, they're not going to let me get close to the end. I'm just going to party down.
Yeah.
And then I partied down for like three quarters of the season. Like, holy crap, I could win this thing.
That's the secret. You just got to go in with no hope.
Yeah.
Play like you don't care. They say play like it's not for money. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just dance like no one's watching.
Dance like no one's watching.
The, I also think there's an argument to be made for Drea. Even she has so many advantages and it's like you time all of those advantages perfectly.
That's why I don't think she's going to win because she has so many advantages. And I just think she's going to flame out and use them at the wrong time. Or
tangle her up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be too. But as she, before the tribal council, this last tribal council, she had four with the immunity idol, which she then spent. But I was thinking like she has four advantages. She can hold on to them for a little bit longer, space them out accordingly. She might have a great shot.
How many people know that she has all those advantages?
No, I don't think anybody knows.
Well, people know that she has the extra vote because she went on the journey and everyone kind of knows what that's about. So I think that knowledge is out there. No, well, yeah, so people knew she had the idol, but now it's flushed.
And the idol, that's gone.
The amulet, at least High and Lindsay know she has the amulet.
Okay.
And then the final thing she got was the red paint in the last episode, which is that you can steal an idol or steal an advantage.
Yeah.
Which Tori people were suspect of. Nobody, Tori.
Well, Tori suspected it, though, and she's gone.
She told Marianne, right? Tori, yeah, I think, told Marianne.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
So Marianne, if no Marianne...
Nobody knows what it is,
but that is weird that she had red paint all over her hand. Okay, what else, Riley?
All right, last one is who's going home next episode?
Who is going home next episode? Jonathan.
Hi.
I'm going to say hi, too. All right, so hi's safe for another episode. We keep saying hi. Because we are always wrong on who's going. We've basically never been right.
Why hi?
I just think that like it's not obvious, but he has like started spinning his wheels enough that people are onto him now and he's not hiding very well anymore. Like, you know how Survivor is, like the wheels start falling off near the end and you have to time it perfect so that the wheels fall off as you move into the final. and his wheels are falling off way too early. People are already figuring him out.
But I think what's going to happen is like High and Romeo and Omer, they're going to be like, listen, guys, look at this horse that is going to win all the challenges. He just won the last one. He's crushing everything. He's too big and strong for all of us. When are we going to have another shot to take him out? And if he doesn't win immunity, I think he's going to be gone.
Okay.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, could go either way.
I feel like these are like similar lines of thinking in that Jonathan's obviously the biggest physical threat out there, perceived as the biggest physical threat, and he just is. And High is, I think, perceived as the biggest strategic threat. I don't think he is the best strategist out there, but perception is. So if you were like, okay, we want to go after big challenge beast or we want to go after the strategic threat, you'd pick either Jonathan or High.
But also Jonathan is so bad at strategy that it makes him unthreatening.
But I've had Joe, I played with Joe, and it was always, if you don't take him out, if he doesn't win,
he's going on a run.
He's going to go on a run. He could win all the rest. And we would talk about it all the time. And it's always going to be in the background, especially because he's so big and massive. Like, they got to be talking about it every day.
Okay. Goliath. Time for David to get rid of Goliath, I guess. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Riley, we got any more?
No, that's it. We're done.
That's it. Jeremy, any closing words? Where can we find you if we need to figure out how to purchase feet content, et cetera?
You can find me at the fire department. You can find me on a sideline of watching soccer or basketball or coaching my sons. That's all I do. I'm exhausted, Tyson. I'm exhausted.
But you're on Instagram.
I don't know. Jeremy two, Jeremy the number two in Collins. Listen, all I do on Instagram is post my kids stuff. When I'm on Twitter, all I do is post my Wordle of the day. Like I'm just running.
Oh, you're a big Wordle guy?
He's a big Wordle guy. Yeah.
Okay. I've done 100. I think I've done 100 now. I think today was my 100th one.
Congratulations.
I missed two so far.
Okay. Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I'm all in. I got my family's doing it. Got a couple guys at the fire station are doing it. My brother's doing it. Everybody.
I've started to adjust my strategy. My second guess, I don't even try and get it right. I do like two guesses with completely different letters. So I just get as much as I can.
Do you do the same word all the time? The same first word?
That's cheating.
What?
I have like a few words. I usually do like scout or trace as my first two words.
Cheating.
Just based on what I'm feeling. Why is that cheating? Why is that
because
cheating?
Because you're just choosing one that has the most common letters in it. I start Wordle with the last Wordle word.
Oh,
that's
like
interesting.
That.
Yeah. It's an extra challenge because then it's always different. It's always something set and it's not going to just be a guess that's dumb luck.
Here's the thing though, you're never gonna get it in one guess,
one in one. No, sure.
And if you do, that's the ultimate. That
yes,
you gotta have a chance of getting it in one.
I've done two a couple times.
It's gonna be bread or what's the other word?
A deal.
Steak. It's gonna be one of those one time, and I'm gonna get it.
Bread or steak.
Bread all the time.
Bread or steak.
Bread. I love the bread. I do bread, and I feel like I get a ton off of that.
So once it is bread and you accidentally guess steak, now you're only guessing steak from here on out until
I like it.
Okay. Well, that's a wrap on The Pod Has Spoken. A huge thank you to Jeremy Collins. Follow him on all social medias for Wordle content and kid content. His kids are playing college soccer now, right?
Yeah. We don't have to get into it, but my oldest is doing awesome. Like, I'll tell you, we'll talk about it another time. She's doing awesome. She's at Bryant in Rhode Island, and she's just crushing it. She's doing so well. My second daughter, she's in high school. She's playing basketball and running track. And my boys are just crazy doing flag football and soccer. It's a lot over here, but it's fun.
The Collins are thriving. It's good to hear.
Yeah. And Val's doing awesome. Val's doing, you know, she's still working. She's a sergeant. So, the Collins family's doing all right. We're hanging out.
They're thriving. Tell them hi from me. and send him my love. Riley, thanks again, as always, for being here. I know you got a lot going on with the NFL.
The ivy plant I killed is starting to come back to life. So that's what's going on for me.
Wow, that's really good news for you, Riley. Really good news.
Yeah.
Everything's looking up for all of us.
Right up there with Jeremy's family, my little plant is starting to sprout
also your
again.
Family. Perfect. Wow. Well, that's great news. Again, everyone, thank you for tuning in and join us next week for another edition of The Pod Has Spoken. See ya.